I am alive. Hello, James. I am alive, James.
Are you Johnny Five?
I am Nick.
Johnny Five is alive.
Nick is alive.
Nick is a dick.
James.
That's a rhyme. So Nick is a dick.
Nick is a dick.
Nick is slick. He's a slick dick.
Nick is a dick. Hello. Hi, I'm here.
Hi. Do I sound like I'm on old-time radio? No? Okay, that's fine.
Well, there we go.
Ah.
You clipped a little.
You clipped a little.
I did. Sure I did.
You're like an L.A. basketball player who's not a Laker.
I got hung up with all sorts of shit.
Such is life.
Yeah.
That's what all the people say.
My last delivery today was smack in the middle of Perkins, in between college and Essen.
Oh.
At 5:15.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. There's no convenient way to get in and out of there.
Yeah. So Franklin would say, that'll fuck you up.
Yeah. Aye, it will. So I was running late, but
understandable.
But yeah, so then I got here, so I could say, "Hey, James."
Hey, Nick.
Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
James.
Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork. I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You're listening to Dork episode 183. Yeah, so I got home and my lawn was mowed.
Oh.
My crazy neighbor Ellen mowed her yard, and we have the same yard guy, and sometimes she'll get high and just really want to mow the lawn. So she mowed her lawn, and she's going to be out of town this weekend. And so she's like, I'm going to mow the lawn so that the lawn guy doesn't mow it while I'm gone. But since he's going to see my yard's mowed, he may skip Nick's yard. So I'll go ahead and mow Nick's yard so that he, in case the guy skips it. So I came home and a 65-year-old woman had mowed my lawn. I was like, well, all right. I guess that's
legit,
the thing.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
I can't fight you. It's already done.
You can't uncut it.
Yeah, she didn't do a half bad job either. So there we go. That's a little something.
A little something, something.
Yep. Yeah. So that happened. Send you a picture.
Of your mowed lawn? Your mown lawn? Your lawn?
No, no.
Has been mowed?
No, I mean, you've seen my house. You can imagine what the grass looks like, long or short.
Yes.
So, you know. Let you put that together.
Yeah, you know, I'll put that in my pipe and smoke it.
Use your mind brain to envision my lawn mowed, shorn, as it were.
My powers beyond reason.
Your powers of reason reasonably.
Yes, my power is reasonable.
Yeah. Picturing my lawn.
Is imagination beyond reason? So you could say your powers of imagination is beyond reason.
I guess. You know, if you want to be a douche.
Who the douche?
My powers of power.
Hello. So what am I looking at here?
Okay, so you see that?
Yeah, it's a house barn.
It's a barn. Zoom in on it. It's very nice. You can't see on the back side. I sent James a picture of a barn.
All these peaks part of the same structure?
Yeah, it's all the same structure.
Okay, I couldn't tell if there was something behind something else, but this is a lot of
Yeah, dude, it's one structure. There's a tower behind the back that you can't see. I quick snapped it with my phone. I delivered to this fancy pants neighborhood way out nowhere. It's past where there's another neighborhood that's got a little gate in front of it, and they're like, we're fancy, and you pass that one, and there's another one that's no, we're fancy, motherfucker, fuck you. And so it's huge. It's a huge neighborhood. Every house has a massive amount of land that it's on. The driveway I had to get up to go to this house, it was easily 100 yards long.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a neighborhood. It's a gated community, but like, you know, way out there and tucked in, and like you wouldn't know it was there unless you're delivering groceries to them.
Right.
Like a very subtle gatehouse to get in. There's no guard or anything, but it's automated. And you have a feeling that like if there was trouble, there would be security guys appearing from somewhere. But yeah, so this house in the back had this barn, and a lot of the houses have these kinds of fancy pants barns in the back with nothing in them. Like they didn't have horses or anything. You can see that they keep a trailer in it, but other than that, it's just immaculately kept, just like a little house barn.
Yeah.
In the back, that is easily, I'm going to guesstimate, 2,600 square feet.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's bigger than my house. It's like half again as big as my house, I think.
Yeah. It's bigger than my house and my shop and everything all together. Yeah. It's huge. So I've been telling Carol about this, you know, like some of these fancy pants neighborhoods. And I had to take a picture of this barn thing because I've delivered to them a couple times. And they're nice. Like some of the fancy pants places, they don't let you into the house to put on. But there's a level. Like there's a level to where people will let you come in and put their groceries on a counter. Uh-huh. And then that cuts off because people get to the level where like, I'm fancy. You're not allowed. You're the help. You're not allowed in. And then above that, where the people are like, no, I'm really fucking rich. They don't give a shit. They didn't pay attention. Like I delivered one of these houses where they're like, yeah, come in the side door. The front door is blocked. And like, it was a side door that led directly to the kitchen. And there was like a maid let me in and just went about her business. Like, she's just like, ah, you're here doing something. And like, so I went in and out like four times. Nope. I didn't see anyone. I didn't talk to anybody. The person that owned the house, I was like texting them like, hey, I'm coming with you. She's like, yeah, just come in the side, blah, 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 blah. Like, just wandering around because there are so many people around doing things, you know, like it's a household, like a functioning, like working household with like gardeners and people cleaning. And there was somebody doing like a dinner party, like all this shit. But it wasn't like a weird day in that house. Like if you ever played Hitman and you had to kill somebody in like a big fancy house and you can just wander around, you're like, how would this person get away? Like I just put on coveralls and I'm carrying a thing of apples and they let me in the house. You could totally do that.
Yeah
that totally works. Just blend in, wander around,
just look like you're just delivering something.
Yeah, you can do it for a while.
Yeah,
the one pain in the nuts is when I have to deliver to like Country Club Louisiana, because those guards are like, you got your driver's license, and like you have to do all this shit, even if they put your name on the list to get in. But those deliveries, those people in there are, I would say, they're below the high up level. Like, don't get me wrong, there's some big old fancy houses in the Country Club of Louisiana, but there again, it's like there's like a tier, and they're not there. And like you drive through there and you're like, oh wow, that's amazing. This is crazy. Nope, it gets crazier. And that's not even like, and there's crazy, there's people that like own, you know, whole, like I've driven out and like you see like it looks like a gated community, but it's not. It's one house. Cool. With like all that, you know, like the gates and like a guardhouse and tons of property with like multiple houses on it, but it's just a single compound.
You're
just like, Jesus.
So they have like a mother-in-law house that's, just, you know, bigger than a regular house.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. They have like from both mother-in-laws.
Yeah.
But so the house that I changed the picture of the barn of, no pool. Like you have all that, tons of land, plenty of space for a pool, no pool.
Yeah, some people don't want pools.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
You live in Louisiana, man. It's hot. You need a pool.
I'm assuming they're white.
These were, yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't.
But following that logic, there is a super rich black dude that I deliver to, and he has a pool.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I never, I don't know that I would want a pool. Like, Jane would definitely want a pool, but, like, I would never, if I, like, had, like,
so you know, millions of dollars. You'd have a pool anyway.
Maybe. Because, like, you know.
Oh, no, just, definitely.
Just for the entertainer. entertainment value for the people that come over. Oh, we're going to come over and come and chill out by my pool. I don't go in the pool. It's just for guests. I don't know.
So Carol and I are definitely putting in a pool. Once my whole job thing is settled, and it's getting closer to that.
Ooh.
Yep. My resume is sitting on the desk of a higher up who's just waiting for requisitions to pull the trigger, and then it's off. I go in for my interviews and stuff, but it seems really good. But yeah, once shit kind of gets settled, we're gonna, the space behind my shop in my backyard, there's like,
yeah,
you're not putting in an Olympic sized pool, but you can put in a good sized pool. They have these really nice above ground ones now where they put in like decking and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can gate it and keep people from getting into it. Instead of having to fence in everything, you can put in a fence with a lock that just lets you into there. Anyway, that's what Carol's been pushing for. She's been showing me all these, look at this. It's like, it's like a deck, but then there's a pool in there, but it's not like trashy. So, all right. Dogs out of it. But yeah, I grew up with a pool, and it's nice to have, especially when it's hot as balls. So basically, May to October.
Pretty much. I was watching the Baton Rouge weather report, and it was like 17 days in a row that we're in the 90s.
Yay!
Yeah. Which is a record for May. Like May 2018 is got more days in the 90s than any other May on record in Baton Rouge.
Well, we certainly try our hardest to suck ass. positive. Yeah. Not like schools or economics or roads, but like hot as fuck, we can do that. We don't have any say in it. We'll just let it happen.
Oh yeah, just let it happen.
It's like hell. No, thank you. God, they just reproduced the same fucking weather report for like 3 weeks. They just fix it, So, we get the same thing for the next 4 or 5 days. They say it's going to rain Monday, 30% chance, and then back to the same shit over and over again. 96 high, 72 low, 10% chance of rain, over and over and over again.
Well, even if they know it's not going to rain, they never want to say, no chance of rain, because they want people to have hope, Hope is what rebellions are built on. Sorry, I just been watching Rogue One. But yeah, I think my parents were talking about how the weathermen would, if it was raining, they wouldn't go out because they didn't want people to ask, why the fuck is it raining? It's like, I didn't make it rain. I just predicted it. Stop it. Make it stop. I'm a weatherman, but that's not what that means. That's not what that means. I just report the weather.
It's just what I do. So I went to the farmer's market Saturday.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah. Why did you go to the farmer's market here? Do they not have one in New Orleans?
I was dropping. Well, okay. So the one in New Orleans does not have meat. So they don't have the Coutrier's guy that has the 100-year-old sausage. I mean, the 100-year-old recipe for sausage.
Gotcha.
The sausage is 900 years old. And we get our sausage there. We get our bacon there. We get our ground beef there. And whatever else, like pork chops and whatnot. So, because, we don't eat meat as factory farmed for the most part. So we go to the slaughterhouse and meat market, Coutrier's, which is at the Baton Rouge Farmers Market every Saturday. And I believe they're still at the Thursday market at Pennington. Not that I'm sitting here trying to be an advertisement for them, but their phone number is 98.
We do get our bacon and ground beef from them.
Yeah.
And we did find eggs.
Oh, good.
There were eggs there. We got the last dozen. And we walked up. I was like, you have eggs? And the lady goes, we got two. And somebody popped up and was like, I'll take one. And I was like, I'll take the other one. but yeah, that matters. I also got a pound of chicken livers from her. I'm making pate. But Oh yeah, you can't touch it. It's awesome. But yeah, Couture's bacon is amazing.
Their sausage is amazing too. Like I've like shared some sausage with some local New Orleans people, and like individually, like I gave it to a couple, and like the next day, like they individually texted me, like, James, this sausage is the best sausage ever. Oh my god!
Just the regular recipe,
the country sausage, the one that comes in the big like 3 pound link or whatever. Mm-hmm. 3 pounds. It's not really a link because it's not like connected to anything, but it's like, you know, tubular. Totally gotcha. Tubular. It's totally tubular.
One long tube.
Yeah. Usually we don't like eat it fast enough to, you know, like 3 pounds fast enough. So like usually cut it into like 1 pound segments and freeze 2 pounds and like, you know.
We'll have to try it. Because I like the rest of their stuff.
I fucking recommend it like more than I recommend, you know, breathing oxygen. I just recommend you should eat it.
Noted. Yes, so Carol and I are at the farmer's market wandering around. We go inside to get meat. We're walking out through, you know, going the length of the inside, get to the other end, and there is a large black man who looks like James, but you never know.
Black man. Yes.
So I'm coming up behind this person, and I'm like, I hope this is James.
Yeah. And how did you greet this person?
I slapped him on the ass.
You slapped him on the ass. And I don't know what it says about me that I wasn't immediately like offended. Cause like, I was like, okay, so who is this?
But yeah, you turn around slowly and we're like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
And then you hugged my wife. I got no hugs.
I did. I handshaked you or whatever it's called.
I slapped your ass, James.
You did. Which is enough of a greeting for you. So you got enough of the James, you know, with that.
Fair.
And I think I accidentally put my mouth on your wife's naked shoulder because I was just like, but I didn't make a kissing mechanism with, or like motion with my.
You just wiped your lips on my wife?
I just kind of did. And I didn't think about it. Dude? I was like, well, I mean, I'll tell you this now because I'm like 70 miles away from you. I wasn't going to be like, yeah. But like, I was just like, you know, because I was like holding like 3 bags of stuff, like 2 like shopping bags and like 1 bag of meat, and I was like, oh, let me hug you. And then, you know, she's like lower, so I had to like, you know, angle myself down. And I mean, it's not like I thought about it and masturbated an hour later.
Okay,
it's 45 minutes,
right?
So anyway, yes, so we saw each other at the farmer's market,
and we did. So that was very exciting. And I started watching, well, let's see, Sumo, the spring tournament wrapped up. Have you watched any of that?
I watched the like 10 minutes of Sumo, and it was very interesting. For several different reasons, just because of the mechanisms of it. And just because like you would think, okay, this is a 400-pound Japanese guy. This is what he's going to look like. But like the body types are so different. It's really weird. Like there's some guys, man, that have like humongous mammary shoot, you know, like type glands, and then like there's some guys that like don't, and they like, you know, way close to the same. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
some guys whose like titties like grow out kind of sideways. So if you look at them head on, it's like they have like, you know, titty in the front, like going around the side, and then like they're like slimmer, and you know, underneath the bust.
Yeah, it's different training styles. Yeah. Carol's we're watching old tournaments now. Because Carol's like, I miss Sumo. So we're watching last year's tournaments to kind of get caught up and see how the guys have improved since then. She's really into it. But yeah, the spring tournament wrapped up in a dramatic fashion. It was amazing. The final match of the whole run was the two Yokozunas, which are like the top tier guys. There were two of them in this tournament, and they went up against each other. Mm-hmm. And it was for the title, like for the win. And it doesn't always work out that way. Like some, you can have a guy who like has it clinched and there's still 3 days left, you know, just depending on how it goes, and they still do all of it.
Right.
So yeah, so that happened. And then I started watching another tournament.
Was it with human beings?
It was not.
Was it not? Was it with rabbits?
It was with robots.
Was it robots?
The robots. Dude, can I go ahead and I want to open
this? Go ahead.
topic by telling you that Tombstone can eat a big fat bag of floppy rotten dicks. I fucking hate that dude so much.
He's the kind of guy you love to hate.
Oh, I hate his living guts. I hope somebody's got something sorted out to take. I fucking hate him so much.
He is cocky as shit.
And he's like one of those dipshits where, like, if you caught him in the grocery store and you're like, "Hey, motherfucker," like, he would totally, like, be a little bitch. And, like, you know, like, all that shit would just melt off. And he'd like, you know, when the security guard showed up, he'd be on the other side of him yelling at you. He'd be like, "Yeah, fuck you, man."
Yeah.
Like, there was a guy at Costco once where everybody's lining up for gas, you know, and, like, it's a Saturday, so it's, you know, it's kind of busy. So right. you can't just pull right up to a pump. Everybody's kind of waiting. But there's lots of pumps. And every station has two pumps. So if somebody pulls up and somebody pulls behind them, well, in the line I'm in, the car in front leaves before the car in the back of it. So there's this open pump, but everybody's like, "We'll just wait for this guy to go, and then two more cars can pull up." And this dude skips the whole line and pulls in, you know, and he looks almost exactly like the Tombstone's operator. I don't know the guy's name, but, like, same kind of guy.
Yeah.
He just pulls in, and I was like, "Uh-uh." So I walked up. I was like, "Hey, man, did you not see the whole line?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, you want to go back around and try again?" And he's like, "All right, whatever." And, like, as he's pulling away, he goes, "Asshole." And I was like,
"Yeah,
what the f-?" And he left. He didn't even get back in line. He just left. That's Tombstone right there. Fucking nutless bitch. Like, oh, just a dickhead. Fuck that shit. Now, it is a really well-made robot.
It is a very well-made robot.
As fighting robots go, it's really well-crafted. However, I want to see it torn to pieces.
Yeah.
Question is, how?
Yeah, actually, I don't know who's going to do it.
Like, if Minotaur couldn't do it, you know, Minotaur has a really good weapon, really good driver.
And it's really fucking durable. Mm-hmm. It's just, in the way we saw Minotaur, like, take apart Blacksmith, and it took, like, you know, pretty much the entire time, but, like, Blacksmith just kept going, mm-hmm. even though it, like, lost its weapon. But Minotaur, you know, was, like, disassembling it the entire time. Is that disassembling it? That's what I mean better. it was lying to it. But then, like, you know, Minotaur and Tombstone take on each other, and Minotaur's fucking weapon is disabled pretty early, but, like, it kept coming back for more and, like, trying to use Tombstone's own kinetic energy against it. And it was just, like, and even technically it wasn't really disabled. It was just fucking hung up on the fucking battle box because of the floor that was ripped apart by the two robots coming together. It's fuck. It was, I mean, that's a fucking tough little robot.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
I actually showed that to my my students on the last day that the kids were there. Because we were, like, watching some, like, Netflix, the Marlon Wayans naked thing, and then, like, we had to go do something. We came back, and I was just like, "I'm just going to show you guys one fight in BattleBots." And I didn't even show them that fight, because I showed them, like, whatever the most, you know, something from the most recent thing is. And then the principal comes in. It was like, "What are we watching?" And I was like, "BattleBots." She's like, "Why are you watching?" And then she looks at it, and she's like, just stops talking for a while, and it's just, like, mesmerized. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." I showed him the rumble between, like, Duck and the flame-throwing forklift that I can't remember. And then, like, Mecha Rampage.
Yeah, that,
like,
was great.
Free shipping, that's what it was.
Like, I love by the end of it, everybody's going, "Duck, duck, duck,
duck, duck, duck."
The beginning of it didn't seem like it was going to do all that well, and then...
It's like ramming by the end of it, it's like ramming the other things around, even though it only has three wheels at that point.
Yeah. No, there's been some good fights so far.
Oh, yeah.
Watched all three of them. All three of the first, you know, the ones that are available.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, and the last thing we watched was the Tombstone versus Minotaur, and she was, yeah. I think there's some people that are going to be like, "I'm going to look up some BattleBots things when I get home." Unfortunately, it's on Discovery and the Science Channel instead of being on, like, ABC. So it's harder to get to. I don't think it's on. Yeah, it's not on Hulu. It better not be on Hulu. Otherwise, why the fuck did I, like, pay for the season?
It's not. Yeah. No, I looked. I was like, "It's is it anywhere?" No.
Yeah, I had looked too. That's why.
Yeah. Well, I'm paying for it. Yeah, it wasn't even a question. I was just like, well, it's available. Well, I'm getting it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's see what else happened. Yeah, last week I finished Far Cry 5.
Oh, yeah, with the modern local terrorist. Or...
Yeah, have you played any of the Far Cries?
No, I've seen some of the video, but I've never actually played any of the games.
Okay, so it's the same thing over and over again, different locations. Here's the idea. You get dropped into this remote area. You're an outsider. The area is taken over by a dictator or a cult leader or drug lords or whatever, right? And you conquer regions by taking out territory that they have, like, you know, let's say they've taken over a church or a gas station or a, you know, pumpkin farm, whatever it is. You go in, you take the guys out, and you reclaim that property. And you blow up shrines and other little outposts and stuff, and slowly reclaim it until you can take out the big boss of that area. And once you've taken out all the big bosses, then you get a final fight with the big main guy. The end. And there's always multiple endings, depending on the choices you've made.
Right.
All right. So the gameplay's fun. Like I like it. It's a good way to kill, you know, 40 hours. Because there's different approaches to everything. But this one was very disappointing in the ending. And I wasn't alone. Everybody was just like, ugh, what the fuck? Because there were multiple endings. There are three possible endings. There's one that's kind of a joke ending where right at the beginning, if you don't arrest the cult leader, it ends. You just walk away and that's it. Credits roll. Like, you have a choice to arrest him or not. And if you don't, then you walk off and that's it. They did that with the last one, with Far Cry 4, where the main bad guy, this guy named Pagan Min, he sits you down at a table and he's like, I need to go take care of something. Wait right here. And then we'll sort this out. And so you sit down and he leaves and you hear him torturing somebody and you get up and run out. But if you just wait and you have to sit at the table for 15 minutes, if you sit there for 15 minutes, he comes back and he's like, all right, well, that wasn't such a chore. Let's go shoot some fucking guns. And the credits roll. So with this one, and spoilers, if you're playing Far Cry 5, anybody out there, James, I didn't think you were going to hop into it.
Nah, that's fine.
So here's the thing. Spoilers, here we go. And just skip 5 minutes ahead if you don't want to know. So the whole premise is it's a doomsday cult, right? And they have bunkers all over the place, and they are training an army to like call the weak, and they're, you know, promoting this eschatological religious idea that the world's going to end and then they're going to come out and be the survivors and, you know, welcome everyone to a new Eden. It's called the Project of Eden's Gate. So they're welcoming back to a new Eden. So you get to the end and you can, you get the choice again to walk away or to fight the guy. If you walk away, you have been, there's a bad guy that conditions you to the song Only You in the game. Like, he takes you and tortures you. And so when he plays that song, you have to come back to him, you know, and he can get you whatever he wants. So you're driving off with your friends and the song comes on the radio and the screen fades to red, meaning like you kill all your friends. But the game doesn't save that. Like, it doesn't take that as an ending. It only takes the other ending, which is you fight the guy, you beat him, you go to arrest him, and then nuclear bombs start dropping.
Oh.
Like, and you have to hop in a car with all your friends and like and the guy, and you're trying to drive to this bunker to get away. And like, nuclear bombs are hitting. Like, the forest is on fire. Like, and there are mushroom clouds going like crazy. It is insane. Like, there are deer running out of the woods on fire and just dropping in front of you. It's, you know, it's like you're in the aftermath of a nuclear bomb.
It's the end of days.
Yeah. So you run and you finally get to the bunker, but you crash at the last minute. Everyone in the car dies except you and the cult leader, and he drags you into the bunker and closes the door and locks you to handcuffs you to a bed. He's like, it's just us, just you and me. And all we wait for all this to end, and then you and I will exit into a new Eden and we will see the world with new eyes. Like, and that's it. That's the end of it. Like, there's no other possible ending. Like, the guy was right. The world ends. There's big thermonuclear mutually assured destruction bullshit. The end. And she's like, the fuck? And I went online. Everybody's like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Wow.
So it turns out that making this game really fucked with the lead developer on it. He had made a bunch of other Far Cry games for Ubisoft. And for this one, he went out to Montana to, like, you know, do research, and he met with cults and stuff. And he got so freaked out by this that he had his own, like, you know, late midlife crisis where he used to drive a Prius. Now he drives a Jeep because he's like, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen, man. It's really fucked up out there.
Really?
But that's not a uncommon thing for, let's say, middle-age-ish white dudes who feel like they're being marginalized. Like, that's it's a type of midlife crisis that has been happening forever. There were guys, you know, in the 40s and 50s putting in bomb shelters.
Yeah.
And that's nothing new in America. That's been going on for, you know, 60, 70 years now.
Since the bomb was created, basically.
Yeah. That there are guys, some guys get a Corvette. Some guys leave their wife for a younger woman. Some guys start prepping.
Yeah. Who is it? Was it a? Was it 6 Feet Under? Did you ever see that show?
Yeah.
I think it was James Cameron. It's not James Cameron. What's his name? James Cromwell. James?
The old guy?
Yeah.
He played the dad?
He didn't play the dad. He didn't play the dad. He played the mom's boyfriend that, like, she, like, got involved with later. Because the dad dies in, like, the first episode. And so, like,
yeah.
They have visions of him or whatever. But then, like, at some point she's dating James Cromwell. And he's like a prepper, basically. He's, like, got, like, shit tons of canned goods and, you know, all that kind of stuff in his basement. And there's some other, like, yeah, that's like, yeah, it's like a common enough thing that, like, you know, you see this on TV shows and, like, you're like, oh, okay, he's that kind of guy. Not like, oh my God, what kind of person is this that would ever do this? It's like, oh, well, you know, he's just, you know, has lived long enough that, like, has gotten cynical enough that he thinks, oh, well, the world's going to end, so I might as well be prepared for it.
Yeah. And I think it comes from, like, you know, that idea that I'm getting older, I'm being marginalized. Obviously the world's ending.
Yeah.
Like, the world isn't going to continue without me. You know, it must be coming. Like, it's going. And like, yeah, I took an eschatology class at LSU. And we basically just studied people that have planned for the end of days. And this was, you know, this was 99. So it was leading up to the millennium, which is why this dude was able to do the class. And it, like, the whole, you know, there have been doomsday cults since there have been people. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for one, like, they've predicted the end of the world to the day 8 times. Like, it the day passes, they're like, well, I guess we did the wrong math, and they pull up a new one. This is when it's going to happen this time totally. And this pushes it out a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah, and everybody's like, yeah, okay. That's cool.
Oh, Jesus. You would expect, I don't know. Why would you put so much energy into saying, oh my God, May 20th this year, it's going to die, or everyone's going to die?
Because it makes you feel like you get this, like, sense of, one, like, a sense of purpose, and two, you're automatically, just by buying into it, you're automatically better than everybody else.
Yeah, until, like, the next day. These.
Yeah, exactly. But leading up to it, you're part of a group
that
has insider knowledge, all these other people. That guy cuts you off in traffic. Good luck when the end times come, asshole. Right. I've got a basement full of rice. You're going to have to eat your dog. I'm not sharing any of my dog food. It's for my dogs. Me. But yeah, like, that shit. Meh. I mean, like, cults aren't any different than any other religion, aside from the fact that they're like, I mean, doomsday cults in particular, and that they're like, yeah, they're just like, you know, we hang out with us, and also I may have sex with your daughter. So,
yeah,
you know, that really seems to be the big dividing line.
Yeah,
it's not like most Christian religions don't agree that the world is going to end, and they all think it's going to happen in their lifetimes. Everyone does forever. Everyone always does. They're like, yeah, it's going to come to end. Why would the world keep going when I'm not here? I'm alive now. It's going to end.
Yeah, this is when all the interesting stuff is happening.
Yeah. This is the best. Actually, my childhood was the best time. Everything's going to shit now.
Yeah.
My good old days, which are never a thing. Bullshit. Penn & Teller's show did a great episode on the good old days. Like, and they looked at three different groups. They looked at the first group of these guys that were really into Leave It to Beaver. Like, like really into it. This is like three dudes that are just like fanatic Leave It to Beaver guys. And they looked at people at Renaissance fairs.
And okay. Then
they looked at people that were fascinated with the 80s. They just went to all these 80s like dance parties and stuff like that and just were stuck there. And, you know, they said, you know, they showed, okay, first off, Leave It to Beaver. Yeah, what do you like about it? And like, well, it's such an idyllic. It was a perfect time in America. And they're like, well, okay, let's take a look outside the show and see what the fuck was going on in the rest of America and the rest of the world. Oh, it was a shit show. Okay. Like, for Beaver, yeah, it was great. Little white kid in the suburbs. Yeah. 50, wonderful time.
Didn't have to worry about any bus boycotts and shit.
Right? So that's what they were saying. They're like, okay, let's look at some other footage from that same time period. And you see Black people protesting the streets, getting hit with fire hoses, and police dogs are sick, you know, sicked on them. And like, right here, not so great. You know, for this one little picture, sure. But again, you only remember that. You're not looking at everything. Same thing with Renaissance fairs. So like, it was great. It was so much easier back then. You just sit back with a turkey leg and you go to a joust. I'm like, no. First off, no turkeys in England at that time period. And second, that's, you're talking about like the shit the nobility did, and even the nobility was dying left and right of like plague and shit. Like, life sucked ass.
Yeah, didn't have any penicillin and shit.
Yeah, and then, you know, like with the 80s, you're like, oh no, the 80s where America was great, you know, we're powerful, there's lots of money. And it's like, yeah, and AIDS and, you know, all this other shit. Like, it again, there was never a time in human history where things were just perfect and idyllic. There's always shit going on. But if you look at it by the numbers, right now is the best time to be alive as a human. And in the future, it will be even better.
Right.
You know, like, because disease prevention and care is getting better. We're more peaceful, believe it or not. You know, as a race, the human race is more peaceful now than they've ever been. Even on your worst day, you can still go, you know, you still go buy a sandwich. You know, and you don't have to fight somebody for it. Like,
yeah, like there's fewer acts of violence per person or whatever it was. Like, I remember there's a book about it, about like how in general it's a less violent world. And yeah, you got technology, you've got medicine, you've got all these advances that make it easier to live and to live longer and to live a more positive life, or, you know, like a healthier life. And, you know, you'd be able to like travel more and not have to like take 5 days to walk to the next town. Instead of, you can just drive there in a couple hours and boom, you know,
blam,
blam.
You can get your groceries delivered to you. You don't have to do shit.
What? There's services that deliver groceries?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it later. but yeah, like, you know, things are good. So after finishing that disappointing pile of shit, I was like, I'm going to do something a little more uplifting. So today I picked up Agony.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah. Now, the initial reviews, because it originally came out for PC and then they ported it to PlayStation 4. And I think it's an Xbox One as well. But they're like, yeah, the port's a little honky. They need some patches.
Patches?
Yeah. Like, it came out today. And I was like, I want this piece of shit Far Cry 5 out of my house. So I swapped it out. And we'll see. But they're like, yeah, it needs some, there's some screen ripping and some lagging, and at one point the whole game crashed at a pretty important point. And there's shit that needs to get fixed here and there. But they're like, no, it's like hell. It's scary and awful. So I told Carol, I'll play that one with headphones on. Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah. It's not like it's just, you know, scary and awful, like a really bad game that I can't think of right now.
Yeah, the guy's like, you know, this could be better. If they patch some stuff, it'll get better. But right now it's a little hinky. Whatever. I wanted to play it.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it. Like, yeah, I've never seen so many tits and dicks in a game in my life. The guy goes, and not in a great way.
Sorry, like, when we were talking about the eighth grade dance, we talked about tits and dicks. Tits and dicks. But, you know, sorry. I'm fine.
How was that eighth grade dance? Was it exciting?
I mean, you know, actually, it was pretty cool. I like some of the kids tried to outdance me. So that was, I decided to start dancing.
Did you school them?
No.
You're not a big dancer?
I am. I just, you know, they have better endurance than me. So I was like moving and grooving and stuff. And then like I got tired and I was like, yeah, fuck this. Mr. Brown's already sweaty enough. You don't have to. I don't want this to be like your last memory of me. Me glistening on the dance floor in my own puddle of sweat. But and then collapsing because I can't breathe anymore. But yeah, we were moving and grooving, and they played you know, the songs that the kids like these days. And then the principal was there, and she played She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy. And the kids are like, what the fuck is this? But yeah, that was good.
Yeah, some friends of ours had us over Sunday for like the barbecue, and they've got two kids, ages 2 and 3. And they're like, hey, it's Uncle Nick. We can harass him for hours because he will put up with our shit far past our, you know, when our parents will. And I make the mistake with kids that I make with dogs where I'm like, it comes up and like has a tennis ball. And I'm like, here you go. And they're like, nope, that's going to be the rest of your day. I'm like, nah, you'll get tired. They don't get tired.
No.
Kids even more so. And kids will, like, let's say, you know, they've got a pool in the backyard, like a little wading pool. And they think it's funny when you throw a soccer ball into the pool and splash them. Well, when that gets old, that doesn't mean they want to stop playing. They now want to splash you in all of your clothes with your phone in your pocket. You know, so, yeah, it's a workout. My body is in pain.
Yeah.
Because the kids are like, ah, chase us. Like, no. They go, we'll chase you. We're all wet. Like, no, don't. Please don't do that. Ah. And you run, and they think that's fun.
Well, yeah, it's like that predator instinct, you know? Like, if you run across a cougar, you're not supposed to, like, run away. Because then it's like, oh, it's something I need to chase because it's running away. It's the same thing with kids. Except they don't want to eat you. They just want to chase you. They just love the chase. That's it. They just live for the chase. It's the chase that drives us, Neo.
Dude, have you heard of the latest superfood, like, fad?
No. Pretty sure I have not. Like, the last superfood I know of is the acai berry, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah. So, do you drink, like, regular milk?
Yeah. I mean, I put it in my milk. I mean, I put it in my coffee, I mean.
Mm-hmm. You do, like, soy or almond milk?
No. No. I mean, yeah, I don't drink it. Like, I've had it in the house before and, mm-hmm. you know, used it. But, like, it's not, like, my preferred milk.
Yeah, Carol gets almond milk for smoothies. But she's a big milk drinker. She'll go, like, a half gallon every 2 days. I don't drink it at all. Yeah. But I buy it. She's like, we're out of milk. I'm like, woman, you're out of milk. She's like, get us milk. I'm like, all right. So the new one, the Pacific beetle cockroach, found on Pacific islands like Hawaii, gives birth to babies instead of laying eggs. Embryos developing in the mother's brood sac receive their essential nutrients, amino acids, and carbohydrates from protein-rich crystals.
About food and then talking about cockroaches. This
in the mother's milk.
Kind of connection.
In 2016, a study published in the Journal of the International Union of Crystallography found that roach's milk is four times richer than that of a buffalo's, the previous top contender, and helps baby roaches develop with alien speed. The crystals are like a complete food. They have proteins, fats, and sugars. Sanchari Banerjee, one of the main authors of the study, told the Times of India, if you look into the protein sequences, they have all the essential amino acids. This lactose-free postnatal fluid, which is apparently pale yellow in color and doesn't taste like anything, may be on its way to become the next trendy superfood. South African company Gourmet Grub says it's working to develop a version of the milk dubbed Intomilk from sustainably farmed insects. According to the company, farming insects is 90% more viable than farming cows when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions. On the other hand, dairy alternatives like almond milk require a serious amount of water. But it's not that easy to milk a cockroach, James.
No, I would imagine so.
At 40 days, the insects begin lactating for their offspring. At that time, scientists either have to kill the roach and carve out its midgut to extract the milk, a process that takes an entire day for two or three bugs, or substitute a filter paper in the brood sac for the embryos and leave it there. So they're working on bottling roach milk.
You know, I would rather they like take the insects and dry them out and grind them into powder, and I'll eat them that way. I would rather that 100 times more than to drink their roach milk. I don't know, because it's bad enough that we like steal milk from other mammals. That's already like kind of weird, but like the idea of stealing quote milk unquote from things that aren't mammals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's just, it's like totally outside what the food pyramid or food cycle or whatever.
the Krebs just, cycle.
Yeah.
This ain't right.
This is an abomination. That's what that is. That's the definition of an abomination.
Nothing about this that isn't disgusting.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, this is worse than this making, you know, feeding like coffee beans to cats and like having them shit it out and then like making the coffee out of it.
Civet, James.
Whatever the fuck. This is worse than that.
Yeah, the civet thing is some bullshit because like they cage them and just that's all they're fed. It's just coffee beans. It's not the natural ones. Like the natural Kopi Luwak, like the civets go up there, they eat the berries, they shit them out, and they collect the stuff. The stuff that they farm, like they just force feed these things to the civets and the civets shit them out. And like it doesn't, like there's no, without everything else in their diet, they're not doing all the things that supposedly make it awesome. It's just cruelty. There's no point to it. But I don't give a fuck about roaches. I'm not like, oh, the poor things.
No. That's, my concern is not for the roaches. My concern is for humanity.
What if it's like really, really good though, James?
Fuck it. I don't care.
What's like the healthiest thing in the world?
Sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'll never know because I'll never eat the filthy motherfucker.
Dude, if sewer rats taste like pumpkin pie, that'd be all I ate.
Oh.
Dude, I had a rat smoothie this morning. It was awesome. Put a little rat in my coffee.
Rats in my coffee. Like rats in my coffee.
Clean enough, you know, to eat. Like in, how was it? Demolition Man. Right?
That's rat. You're eating rat. Yeah,
I don't see any cows around here. Como es carne? Rata. oh, rat burger. Okay, whatever. He's like, it's good. Like, again, he's like, yeah, it tastes good. I don't give a shit. I'm a total street food guy. Like, if I don't see people shitting their pants after eating there and it looks intriguing, I'm in. We'd be in some funky South American village way off the beaten path, and this guy's got a rust-covered cart. And he's slinging like taquitos off the back of it. I'll give it a swing. If there's a line there, I'm in. Like all these locals know.
Yeah, but they may also have like a local microbiome that they're like, you know, their bacteria inside of them has already adapted to like help them digest this weird shit.
Well, I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna enjoy it, and I'm gonna have experience later. But I haven't had any bad experiences food wise. I've always been pretty adventurous. I think that's why. Like, because I'm always like torturing my gut. And it has to adapt.
Yeah, you're like a regular fucking doomsday inside your digestive tract.
Yeah, and guys like Anthony Bourdain and Andrew Zimmern, who's that the bizarre food guy?
Yeah,
like they have rules for travelers when it comes to food, and they're really simple. It's like one, make sure it's clean. You know, keep an eye out for where the locals eat, because they're, you know, those places see a lot of traffic and they've been around a while, obviously, and you know, people are getting sick. But also, if it is really funky, if something seems funky, skip it. Like the one thing I saw Andrew Zimmern not eat was he was in Africa with these the Kalahari Bushmen, and they slaughtered a goat, and they were cutting it, and the blade they were using was kind of rusty, and they weren't careful about how they were disemboweling it, and so they split the gut.
The abdominal sac, yeah.
Yeah, and like punctured one of the intestines, and he's like, you know, guys, I appreciate it, but I don't feel comfortable eating this because I'm, you know, again, my stomach hasn't dealt with this level of contamination. Like, you guys eat these goats all the time. I don't trust it. So yeah, just keep an eye out.
Wise.
But you know, you can't be afraid of everything, because there's weird stuff out there that you never had that might be just amazing.
Yeah, this is true.
There's this great Japanese game show called AK Bingo. You can catch it on YouTube. There's this Japanese girl like super group called AK Bingo, and there's multiple. It's hard to explain, but it's like it's a big super. If you like Mouseketeers, kind of, and that okay. There's lots of them, and they do shows all over Japan, and there's different squads.
Right.
So different squads will like be on the show, and they do like weird competitions. All right. One of the things they do is they play dodgeball, and if you get hit, you have to do a punishment. And they pull it out of a big box of dodgeballs that have weird stuff on them. And one of them is weird food. And like they always bring out these foods that are delicacies in other parts of Asia that are weird. But usually the girls are like, no, oh, you know, actually, it's kind of good. Like one was bee larva, like honeybee larva.
Yeah.
It like is served in the honeycomb and it's full of larvae. They've been like steamed or whatever. And the chick's like, it looks funky because it looks like a bee's nest full of grubs. And the chick pops in her mouth and she's like, you know, this is really good. Or like one was like pickled salamander. And she's like, no, it tastes like sardines. These are good. There's weird shit like that. So be adventurous, but be careful.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds legit.
Don't need anything with poo on it.
No, I would not recommend it, Captain.
No.
No.
Not even ass. So you take a shower first. I will toss your salad, but you take a shower first. Scrub. Damn it. I love you, but fuck. I'm not. The flames of passion will not overcome my other sensibilities.
Yes. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah. I'll take a shower first.
Yeah.
That's the key to a successful marriage, James. Just letting you know that right now.
Take a shower first.
Like, you know, you're full of passion. Great. Give me a minute. let me do you a favor. I'm a large mammal. I'm going to hose off real quick. You're welcome. Yeah. Like, I remember when we first got together and you'd go out, you know, like you both worked all day and you just had Mexican. And you get back and you're like, yeah, not now.
No,
sir. Showers? And we can't have eaten for like 3 hours minimum.
Yeah.
Like, that's just rude. You burp in somebody's face. I love this woman. I'm going to burp pasta in her face. Ugh. That is the foundation of successful marriage.
Yeah.
That and separate bathrooms.
Separate bathrooms is a wonderful thing. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, all you newlyweds out there, when you're house hunting, two bathrooms. Allow for some mystery in your relationship.
Yes. Yes. Especially when it comes to smells.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
We didn't talk about Solo at all.
Oh, did you go see Solo?
Yeah, I saw Solo.
Oh, you did. Yeah, you did tell me in the market. So tell the people what you thought.
I liked it. There's a lot of like varying opinions about it, but like as long as you don't expect what's his face to be like exactly like a young Harrison Ford, like the story's good, the action's good. I enjoyed, you know, seeing that part of the Star Wars universe. So I'm going to recommend it.
Is it a Jedi-free movie?
I don't think there were any lightsabers at all.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah, I like it too.
There was supposed to be a game that they worked on for a long time. It was set on Coruscant, but like deep in the slums.
Oh, and yeah.
It was like
it had a number in it or something.
Yeah. I can't remember what the number was, but it was the whole 30, idea was 30. It's like a Jedi-free,
yeah,
you know, game taking place in the Star Wars universe because it's not Jedi's everywhere.
Yeah, well, Republic Commando was like that.
Hmm.
Pretty sure, I think. I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit, but like the most of it was, you know, it was like these Republic, these clone troopers, you know, clone commandos, like running around killing Geonosians and robots. It was good. And Trandoshans. Oh,
it's like the world. It's a big world.
It's a big universe. It's a big galaxy. That's what I was looking for. It's a big galaxy. Anyway, I'm James Brown.
I'm anymore. You have been dorked.
You have been dorked.
Thanks for coming by.
Set a spell. Take your shoes off.
No, put your shoes back on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Whoa. Just keeps a mystery. Shit.
This is not that house. You keep your shoes on.
You respect the toes?
Stank.
Spank?
Like, if I'm going to have a house where people take the shoes off before they come in, you got to have other shoes for them to wear in the house.
It's true.
Like Crocs or something. Everybody looks silly. Because otherwise it's going to be feety. And I have four dogs. They're going to lick your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Because they won't stop licking Carol's. Moss will follow her around and lick her feet. I'm like, dude! She just has given up. Like, I was like, Carol, tell him to stop. And she's like, nah, I did. He's still doing it. I'm like, no! That's not okay. Tell him no. No, lick the feet.
No!
I don't love her foot fetishes in the Moore house.
Yeah, shit.
Later, Japes.
All right. Later, Nick.